everything that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Happy Friday the 13th, and welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we'll be talking with Chico filmmaker Josh Funk about his film Three Keys, a dark new film full of magical special effects, having its world premiere screening tonight and tomorrow night at the Museum of Northern California Art in Chico. Josh Funk will tell us all about it.
It is a fantasy thriller short film about a woman who goes to a psychiatrist and is explaining her reoccurring nightmares. And in each nightmare, she is always in front of a door in the basement, a creepy basement, and there are three keys right in front of the door. And every time she puts a key in the door, it brings her to a different place.
On today's program, we'll also be talking with some of the writers, directors, and actors from a collection of original short comedies now on stage at Chico's Blue Room Theater, the Ollie Play Festival. These plays are the end product of a playwriting class from Ollie, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, where the students are retirement age with over 50 years of personal experience. And they say they're having a great time creating theater.
This is the fourth year we have done the Play Festival. All the plays are the short comedies, and all of the plays have been written by Ollie members. They're acted by Ollie members, they're directed by Ollie members, and the whole backstage crew are Ollie members.
That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading, Axiom Repertory Theater presents Wit, a Pulitzer Prize-winning drama about a dying woman who, with deep thought and humor, reassesses her life. Performances are at Reading's Old City Hall, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, and 2 o'clock on Sunday. The Orland Arts Center, in the exhibit Dancing to Different Tunes, displays paintings by a mother-daughter duo, Pat Vogt and Allison Lucci. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. Tonight, Chico Theater Company opens its latest production, Noises Off, a laugh-out-loud look at the backstage follies of theater folk. See this irreverent farce tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. There's also a Sunday matinee at 2. At Chico Art Center, Creative Fusion, the 14th annual junior high and high school exhibition. Young art students from the Chico area display their paintings, photographs, ceramics, and sculptures. The center's open noon to 4, Monday through Friday, and 10 to 4, tomorrow and Sunday. Also in Chico, MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, will be honoring local veterans by displaying some of their artwork. This exhibit opens next Thursday at MONCA in the Chico Veterans Memorial Hall. Tomorrow evening at Chico State's Harlan Adams Theater, CSU Chico's jazz band, Jazz Express, invites university alums to share the stage in a concert titled With a Little Help from Our Friends. This night of engaging music begins at 7:30. The Sunday at 2 concert series presents sonatas and trios by Mozart, Brahms, and Rochberg. This afternoon of chamber music begins at 2 o'clock in Chico State's Zing Recital Hall. Sunday evening at the Zing, Ryan Keberly and Catharsis. This group unites elements of chamber music, South American folk, and indie rock all within the traditional framework of jazz. The music starts at 7:30. Across town on the same night at the Sierra Nevada Big Room, fiddler Mark O'Connor and the O'Connor Band take the stage for an evening of progressive bluegrass, indie folk, and Americana music. This dynamic show starts Sunday evening at 7:30. In Paradise, Theater on the Ridge presents the Neil Simon comedy Brighton Beach Memoirs, based on Simon's boyhood. Performances are tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. In Yuba City, the Acting Company ends its run of Calendar Girls. In this comedy, set in a small English village, six women in their respectable late middle age pose for a racy calendar to help a charitable organization. Tickets are available for tomorrow night's show, which begins at 7:30. That's the calendar for this week. Born on this date 112 years ago, Irish playwright, novelist, and poet Samuel Beckett, famous for his absurdist tragicomedy, Waiting for Godot. In Beckett's view, we are all born mad. Some remain so.
Listening here to original music by film composer Barbara DiBiase. She's from Italy, and she wrote the score for a new film by a Chico filmmaker, Josh Funk. Josh Funk is our guest today. He's a filmmaker, and he has a new film coming out, Three Keys, premiering in Chico at the Museum of Northern California Art, MUNCA. Josh, tell me about this film.
It is a fantasy thriller short film about a woman who goes to a psychiatrist and is explaining her reoccurring nightmares. And in each nightmare, she is always in front of a door in the basement, a creepy basement, and there are three keys right in front of the door. Every time she puts a key in the door, it brings her to a different place.
I read in the publicity material about this that it was based on your own reoccurring nightmares. Is that true?
Yeah, partially. The inspiration came from my childhood nightmares of dolls, specifically Chucky. I was terrified after seeing a quick glimpse of Child's Play on Entertainment Tonight when I was about 6 years old, and I had these reoccurring nightmares of him for the rest of, I still have them. So as a form of therapy, I got into stop motion animation, and now I play with dolls in my studio. On this one, I use stop motion puppets. I also used a marionette doll made from Czech puppet makers.
What's so scary about dolls, do you think?
For me, when I was 6 years old, I slept with a teddy bear. The thought never occurred to me it could come to life. And if it came to life, that it would harm me. So as soon as that thought went into my head, I was just traumatized.
So this is kind of a horror fantasy thriller type of movie?
Yeah, it's not bloody. It's not a horror film in that sense. It's probably more of a fantasy thriller, but it is a little scary to some people.
Three keys. So you've explained that in this recurring nightmare this woman is having, there are three keys. Where did you come up with this idea of there being keys and doors?
Keys and doors are very common in fairy tales. And also the number three. I mean, you think of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. I mean, there's a million examples mm-hmm. of three. I wanted to explore the fairy tale world, try my hand at it. It also started when my son was born about 3 years ago. And I was home late at night, and my wife and I were taking turns because we were nervous parents watching to make sure he was still breathing. I would stay up late, and I would write this story. I started thinking of my childhood again. Mm-hmm. And was just really inspired and started looking back into the films that inspired me as a kid, like Jim Henson, specifically Labyrinth and some of those fantasy films.
Stop motion animation. Can you explain again to our audience what that is?
Stop motion animation is a form of animation where you take a puppet or an inanimate object, you take a photo, you slightly move it, and you take 24 photos for every second that you're going to see on screen. So it gives the impression these puppets are alive and moving.
The classic examples of stop motion animation are Ray Harryhausen movies, where all those creatures came to life, or the original King Kong. Does it make you feel like you're in control of magic to bring to life inanimate objects in that way?
Yeah, that's part of the appeal for me. It's a form of self-therapy where the things I fear I have control over. I can bring these inanimate objects to life and be sure they're not going to hurt me.
We're talking about the movie Three Keys. It's going to have its world premiere at the Museum of Northern California Art, MUNCA, in Chico, appropriately enough, on Friday the 13th and also on the 14th. This is a benefit for MUNCA, is that right?
I really like what MUNCA has been doing in our community, and I wanted to donate the proceeds to them because they're trying to raise funds for an HVAC unit right now. I think they need about $40,000. We're not going to bring $40,000 in from my premiere, but any little bit helps. And it's a really great venue because I'm going to be showing puppets from the movie. They're going to be on display along with two of the doors that were used.
So you're going to be giving a talk and answering questions about making this film?
Yeah, following the film, we're going to have a very short behind-the-scenes featurette that we're going to show, along with a Q&A with me and the actors and other filmmakers involved. We had a lot of people involved in this, whether it was building a wooden door, a metal door, puppet makers. We had two students from Chico State. One of them was an intern of mine. She did some of the animation. I tried to get as many people involved as I could. I even roped in my father-in-law because he worked in construction and I needed to make this 16-foot tunnel. And I didn't know how to do it. After talking with him, we laser cut a tunnel out of foam and he helped me put it together.
Well, this kind of film that you make is very labor-intensive. How many years have you been working on this film?
It's a 15-minute film, and I've been working on it for 3 years.
So how do you have the ability to keep focused for such a long time to create a film?
Well, it's a process. The beginning of it was filmed very quickly. It was in 2 to 3 weeks with all of the actors, but then all the visual effects I chipped away at over time. There is one specific dream sequence that took me 4 months straight of animating and visual effects within the computer, and I was losing my mind. Luckily, I work as a freelance animator. That gave me a chance to take a break and then come back to it with fresh eyes.
Describe one of your favorite puppets that you animated. What does it look like? What is it?
One of my favorite puppets on this film was one that I created. It was a labor of love. I was teaching myself new puppet making techniques. I worked with a Chico State student to help design it, Jasmine Esterman. She made the concept art. It was a fairy puppet where it appears to be one way and then throughout the scene it becomes something else. So I had to find some creative solutions on movable parts and how to express emotion in this puppet.
Well, this 15-minute film, it takes a lot of people to put it together. Tell me about some of your other collaborators on this project.
When I set out to make this film, I knew that there were a lot of things involved that I had no experience with. So I looked to friends and family who worked in different fields and asked them, hey, I'm making this weird fantasy thriller film. Do you know how to make a door out of metal? And, you know, sure enough, they're like, yeah, I know how to weld. I know how to do this. And then I would give them my ideas and they would collaborate and they would make it 10 times better than I was expecting. This even happened with my father-in-law. He worked in construction and I asked him to help me make a 14-foot tunnel Bridget was going to crawl through. And he knew exactly where to bring it to get the laser cut out of foam and textured and painted. I kind of feel like I'm Kermit the Frog rounding the weird group of misfits together to create a film and just having that positive outlook that it'll all work out.
Do you like working on films, making films here in the North State?
Yeah, I love making films here in the North State. And I don't think it matters as much as it used to. If I were trying to, you know, be a big Hollywood blockbuster director, then yeah, I'd probably have to move. but you can make anything here and then send it out to festivals around the world and go to those festivals, meet other filmmakers, and you realize that they're all the same.
What do you think people's reaction will be when this film hits the screen?
I'm hoping that they're entertained above all else. I'm also hoping that they just appreciate all the hard work that all of us put into it. And when they see the puppets and props in front of them and on the screen, that they have a lot of questions for us. And maybe it'll inspire them to make a film someday.
And you're going to have some of those puppets on display so they can see the actual puppet itself?
Yeah, we're going to have puppets on display. There was one specific scene that involved these fairy creatures. I had about 20 different puppets in that scene flying around. Unfortunately, a lot of them didn't make it through the animation, but I'll have some of them on display and some other surprises too.
Why do you think wild fantasy is so popular in movies?
I think it's popular because in fantasy films and horror films, they can be metaphors for bigger problems and issues that we deal with in real life. Some people might understand that when they're watching them, some might not, but it's there. On a deeper level, it's stuff that we can really relate to.
And with Three Keys, it's all happening in a dream world. A dream world, by its nature, is dealing with hidden meanings under the surface.
Exactly. Sometimes we're not even sure what our dreams mean, but they're very personal. This film has a loose connection with a fairy tale everyone's familiar with. So there's some surprises involved.
We're talking about the short film Three Keys, a fantasy thriller. It will be premiering at MUNCA, the Museum of Northern California Art. What time does it screen?
We're going to open the doors at 6:30 so people can look at puppets and get to know what went into making the film. We expect to start the films at 7.
And then it's the same schedule on Saturday night?
Yes, on both nights.
Well, I want to thank Josh Funk for coming in and telling us about a new fantasy thriller, a short film that's going to have its premiere. Thanks, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
We're again listening to original music from Three Keys, the fantasy thriller short film by Josh Funk. That film is premiering tonight and tomorrow night at the Museum of Northern California Art on the Esplanade across from Chico High School. I'm here with several of the people from a theatrical event that's happening this weekend, the Ollie Play Festival. That's O-L-L-I Play Festival. Let's start with Pam Lloyd, who is the artistic director of the whole event, as well as a writer and director of one of the plays. What is Ollie? O-L-L-I.
The letters stand for Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. It's a program all over the country affiliated with universities, and it's really a program of lifelong learning for adults over the age of 50. The local Ollie here in Chico has about 130 classes, over 1,100 members. It's a very active program.
There's all kinds of different classes offered. Are they usually given at the university?
Not in university classrooms, but in different locations around town.
There's a theater program that's
yes.
attached to this. Tell me about the play festival. What's the theme? What's the overall subtitle this year?
The name of the festival is April Fools and Follies. All the plays are short comedies written by Ollie members, acted by Ollie members, directed by Ollie members, and the whole backstage crew are Ollie members.
You yourself are a writer this year of one of the plays. Are you directing the play that you wrote?
Yeah, I've actually written two of the plays. One of them I am directing.
Pam, since you're also artistic director of the whole event, what would you describe it's like to have all of these people coming together to put on this theatrical event doing four plays?
I think it's wonderful. It's one of those lifelong dreams that I have had. Back when you're working, you just don't have a lot of time. Now that I'm retired, I feel like it's my new career. It's my new life calling. Not only writing plays, but some years acting in them, directing, and just making sure that this whole thing works.
This festival is happening at the Blue Room Theater, one of the major theaters in Chico. Pam, tell us about the play that you wrote and are also directing.
It's called A Wicked Little Wager. It's longer than most of the plays. This is a 40-minute, one-act comedy thriller. So it's not only funny, but it's got elements of suspense and dastardly deeds and rather unexpected things happening. It's a lot of fun, and I think people will really enjoy it. And I know the actors are having a good time.
Tell me some of the things that your actors have said about participating in this play.
One of them is right here, Peggy. She plays Babette.
That's Peggy Dufon. Let's talk to Peggy. You're acting in Pam's play. Have you done much acting before?
This is my fourth year. I've acted every year. That's most of my acting experience.
What's it like for you being on stage at the Blue Room Theater in front of audiences for a whole weekend?
I really enjoy it. We work hard to put the production and our play together. I'm feeling very confident at this moment because we have been ready and it's going very well.
Tell me about your character in this play.
All of the characters in the play are very wealthy people, snobbish and self-absorbed, I'd say. They've placed a wager of $1,000 each in this contest that they expect to have that evening. It's different from my life as Peggy Dufon. It's fun to be a different person, to sort of have the license to do things that maybe I wouldn't do in my own personality.
Your writer and director described this as kind of a suspense thing as well as a comedy. Is there tension? Is there danger? Is there something going on that develops into something that's threatening for the characters?
Absolutely. It reminds me of an Agatha Christie murder mystery where you have a bunch of people gathering for some kind of event in a lovely place, and then things start happening and people start getting knocked off. You don't know who's done it.
So, Pam, were you inspired by Agatha Christie?
Yes, I read mystery novels of all sorts all the time, and I love Agatha Christie.
Well, let's talk to Joan Cleveland. She's also a writer. This is her first time writing a play for the Ollie Festival. You're also an actor, is that right, Joan?
Yes, this is my first play that I've written. And I must say, I have to thank Ollie and Pam Lloyd's wonderful playwriting class for this. I've always been interested in writing. Didn't have a lot of chance to do that until I was retired. I was in the Play Festival last year. That was my first time ever acting.
Well, tell us in a nutshell something that you learned in the playwriting class about what you do to put a play together.
Having the structure that Pam provided in the class to allow you to take your idea and develop it in such a way that it can be put on stage as a play, that it has an interesting story and a beginning, middle, and end, something interesting to not only the actors playing the part, but the audience watching.
Tell us about your play.
The play that I'm performing happens to be the one I wrote, which is an interesting process, too. An idea came to me from an experience that I had had with a cat I had as a pet some years ago. I expanded on that idea, molded it into shape, and I think it turned out to be a gentle little comedy.
Is somebody playing the cat?
Yes, the wonderful actress is playing the cat.
And what's the part you play?
I play the owner of the cat.
What's the name of your play?
Neighborly.
What's it like acting in a play that you've written? When you hear those lines come out of your mouth, does it change it for you from what you thought it would be when you were putting it on the page?
Yes. As an actor, you have to look to the director to tell you what the director is seeing, bringing it to life in a more animated way, one that shows up on the stage and creates interest. I knew the words, but as far as how I presented them, it's been definitely guided by the director.
We also have here Doc Sandiford. Doc, what are you doing for this play festival?
I'm directing two of the six plays.
Do you like the collaboration process with the writers?
This is an opportunity to work with a playwright. As a director, I don't usually get that. Here, I do. We do some rewriting and some refiguring. Bring it up a notch if we can.
Tell us about the two plays that you're directing.
I have The Monster Under the Bed. The other play is Smartphone Frenzy. A woman in her 80s bought her first smartphone. Things happen when she tries to work this smartphone in her apartment.
Well, Doc, how would you describe how writing, directing, and acting in these plays allows people of a mature age to enjoy themselves in a way that they maybe haven't before?
The people that participate want to because this has been a dream all their life and they never had time for it or they never took it up. Maybe the last time they were on stage was in high school 50 years ago. Teaching them to act and use their imagination, their emotions to create characters, actually act, not just read a script, but play the script, feel the character. That's always a challenge for any director with any cast, but more mature people, they need to learn to play again. This is all about playing. That's what I try to inspire. This is play. Let's play.
One of the two plays that you're directing is called The Monster Under the Bed, which is something usually small children worry about. Mm-hmm. Are you kind of guiding your actor to get back into a space like perhaps they were in their childhood where their imagination went wild and they imagined that there could be an awful thing living under the bed?
Yes. Even as an adult, if you heard some deep growling sounds coming from under the bed, it might reawaken that childhood fear. The actor has to use that, and that's part of method acting, to use your previous experiences in life and relate to that and bring that into your present emotional experience.
All of you listening here can see these people putting on plays on stage, original plays that have never been performed before, world premieres, at the Blue Room Theater in downtown Chico. It starts at 7:30 tonight. It also plays at 7:30 tomorrow night. And there's a Sunday matinee, which is the last performance. That's this Sunday at 2 o'clock. Well, thanks to all of you for coming in and talking about the festival. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you miss this show at its regular broadcast time, you can always listen to it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.